Okay, so we got to a few lines down on Ches Amna Aleph. The Gemara quoted what we discussed yesterday a little bit about certain days that the Kohen is supposed to look at the Neged Tzaras and certain days where he's not supposed to look at the Neged Tzaras. So the Gemara says, seven lines down, Amar Mar. Yesh Yom Shiata Robo. Yesh Yom Shiata Robo. There are certain days you look at the Neged and certain days you do not look at the Neged. My Masha, what's the implication? What's the source of this concept that certain days we do, certain days we don't? So Amar Bai says, Im Kain Lichto Rachmana Bayom. Uvayom, what's the extra vav telling me? The pasuk could have read very nice. The pasuk I have on the side here is more interesting. Okay, it's in the previous page. Right. It says the pasuk says uvayom heiraos habo basachayitma. It could have said vayom. That's the beginning of the pasuk. What's uvayom? End the day. It could have said the day you look at it. The extra vav says Abai comes to teach us that. So certain times we do learn, certain times we do look at it, certain times we do not look at the nega. That's learned out from the ekshivav. That's the drasha. Comes along Rava Amar, Kula Kroyaseru, the entire word uvayom is ekshiv, because im kain, lichto rachmana uvaharos, it could have simply said uvaharos. Why mention the day he looks at it? Says, my uvayom, the entire word, Shmamina yom yesh yom shata robo yesh yom shiata robo. So that's machlokas. Is it simply darshing the letter vav, or it's the entire word that's extra that we learn this concept from? You look at Tosfos for a second. Tosfos writes, "Dir maschil mai uvayom yesh yom shata robo." Tosfos writes, "Mashmal abai." This implies to Abai that Rabbi Yehuda darish vav. According to Abai, the first explanation, and this all goes according to the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, says that Rabbi Yehuda holds of darshing vavs. V'chein perikam of the Sanhedrin, gave v'shoftecha, uperik el mitzios, gave umatzasa. All those places we darshin the letter vav. Kasha says Tosos, you gufe lo darsh vav. But he himself, Abai himself, does not lo darsh vav. Div'im hamer yamer v'perikam at t'mur, he doesn't learn from the letter vav. Uvesof perik terif b'kalpi, the end of that perik numa, gave v'ha'ish, he doesn't learn the letter vav. So, does Abai learn the letter Vav, or does not learn the letter Vav? Shema darish le drasha achrina. So, Tosfos says, maybe really in general he does learn the letter Vav. The reason why the Gemara's in Tamur, the Gemara's in Yuma, say he doesn't learn it, because he used the letter Vav for a different drasha. It wasn't therefore available for whatever the Gemara there was discussing. Miu, he says, hacha kasha tfeh. Here is more problematic. Kevin Rabbi Yehuda darish Vav. Since Rabbi Yehuda in this Gemara, according to Abaye, learns a drasha from the letter Vav. My time alo amar Rava, the hacha nami darish Vav. Lama Cholak al Abaye, Hayalol Haskiro. Why does Rava argue in Abaye if they're all going within the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda? And Rabbi Yehuda in general holds a Vav, so why is Rava so against learning the Vav for Rabbi Yehuda? Says Tosos, Shema Rava Kamar Afilo Darsh Rabbi Yehuda Vav, Hachal Lahai Drashi Yesh Liashra. So Rava says, I agree normally Rabbi Yehuda does hold of darshing Vavs. But even here, if you want to say that Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold of a Vav, let's just say in theory he doesn't. I'll give you another reason as to why you can still learn the same drasha out from the entire word of Ayom seems to be extra. So we see from here that there's a discussion whether one darshins the letter Vav or not. Rabbi Yehuda seems to be of the opinion that one does darshin the letter Vav.
Even according to Rebbe, the Gemara said that he needs both drashas. One tells you Rishos and one tells you Tumah Deguf, like Vav Tumah Deguf. So this whatever svar we're saying Rabbi Yehuda about darshining Vav, we have to say the same thing in Rebbe, because he also that's in hold of the limud of Rabbi Yehuda.
That Rebbe also holds the letter Vav, you're saying. So it's not only Rebbe Yehuda, it's also Rebbe. Okay.
So Gemara said certainly he knew that he knew.
So Rebbe Yehuda also fits, Rebbe also fits into this category of darshan Vavs.
Yeah, and Tosfos makes it sound like it's just Rebbe Yehuda.
Right, I guess for Tosfos we have more of a wider perspective of Rebbe Yehuda's opinion about Vav. Maybe we don't have as much information what Rebbe holds about the letter Vav. So now the Gemara says, that's machlokas Rav and Abaye. Is it learned out from the letter Vav, or is it learned out from the entire word Uvayom? So the Gemara says, V'abaye, according to Abaye, how could you learn from the drasha, no, V'abaye, hahumi baile bayom lo b'layla? He says, what do you do with the word bayom, the entire word bayom? You learn it, that you're only allowed to look at the tzaras during the daytime, you are not allowed to look at it at nighttime. That's what the word bayom teaches us, and the extra letter Vav teaches us that certain days you look at it, certain days you don't. Now, Rava, who uses the whole word Vayom, to teach me certain days you look at it and certain days you do not look at it, what does he do with the word Vayom Vlabalaila Minale? Where does he learn the halacha that only during the daytime do you look at a nega, but you don't look at it at the nighttime? He can't use it from the word Vayom because that word is used for something else. So, Nafkale, he learns that from a different pasuk. The pasuk says, Milchmi, from the following pasuk, Lechol Mare Eini HaKohen. From anything that the Kohen is able to see. So he's only able to see during the daytime, Rashi says. Mare Einai HaKohen Mashma B'yom Shiachol Eros. So from that pasuk, Einai HaKohen, when could the Kohen see? He can only see during the daytime. So that's what he learns for that. He learns that halacha from this other pasuk. So Abai says, what does Abai do with this pasuk? Hahomi Barley, no, the pasuk of Lechol Mare Einai is needed to teach me Lemute Suma Ba'achs Me'inav, to teach me that the Einai, both eyes, have to be able to see. A Kohen who's blind in one eye cannot to look at a nega, he has to be able to see in both eyes. So that pasuk of L'chol Mar Einai, a Kohen, is not available to learn the halacha of daytime but not nighttime. Doesn't Rava also need the pasuk of Einai a Kohen to teach me that a Suma Ba'achas Me'inav is possible? Gemara says yes. Rava does B'lai L'manalei, so where does he learn it out from? The concept of day but not night, where does Rava learn this from? So Nafkalei, Michanega nearly bibais. So it seems to me, it appears to me, the pasuk says, I see a nega in the house. Li, I see it with my own eyes, below l'ori, but not to a light. I see it during the daytime with my own, but I don't see it at nighttime when I have to use a fire. From this pasuk, we learn that you cannot look at it at nighttime, only during the daytime, where he's able to see it without any assistance of a fire or a light. Gemara says, okay, so now according to Baye, this pasuk seems to be very good to teach me that only during the daytime you could see a nega, but not nighttime. So Baye, he says, you need both psukim. You need the psukim of Kenega near Liba Bias, and you also need the pasuk of Einea Kohen, both of them, to teach me that both these psukim to teach me that you could only see during the daytime. Why? Imi Hasim, had I had that pasuk only by the Bias, Hava Mina, Hani Mili Tuma Delav Gufe, maybe only a house which is not inherently nega tzaras, it's not in the body, it's not as severe as a tzaras. So maybe there we'll say, okay, only during the daytime, we'll be more lenient. At nighttime, we're not going to look at it. About tuma de gufa, but if nega is found on a person's body, which is much more severe, maybe afilu oronami, maybe we should even be able to look at it at nighttime and be more machmir to look at it at nighttime. Kamash Milan, we learn from the other pasuk that even when it comes to a nega on the body, we only look at it during the daytime, not during the nighttime. Okay, says the new Mishnah now. Mishnah says, "V'od Amar Rabbi Meir." Meir says something else. Another halacha: "Malakit Adam Atzamos Atzmos Aviv V'Imo." Mipnei Shesimchei Lo. On Chol HaMoed, a person is able to collect the body, the bones of his parents, because it's a simcha him. It's a simcha tim. What does that mean? Collecting the bones. So Rashi writes, "Malakit Adam Atzmos Aviv V'Imo U'Molichan L'Mokum Acher." They were buried in one place, but now they wanted to remove the bones and bury them elsewhere, lekovrom bekivros avosam, to bury them in their family area where the rest of the family was buried in the cemetery. They wanted to move them, the bones there. Bipnei simchi lo, this is all permitted on Chol HaMoed, shekovrin bekivri avosa velo mitzar b'moed, because they're very happy to put the bones with the rest of the family, and although it's, you know, a burial of sort, but they didn't die now, they died a few months ago, let's say. So this becomes a simcha, and simcha is, of course, permitted to be done on Chol HaMoed, while Avelis is not permitted to be done on Chol HaMoed. This is viewed as a simcha. Rabbi Yossi Omer Avel Hulo, this is considered Avelis, this is considered mourning, even though, again, they're happy that the bones are going to the place of the family, still the fact that they have to remove the bones of the parents and rebury the bones of the parents, it's going to bring sadness and mourning to them. So therefore, this would be asur on Chol HaMoed. It would be removing from the Simchas HaYichag. Mishnah says a second halacha regarding Avelos. Lo Yor Adam Al Meso. A person should not try to incite some further Avelos, more so than needed. Velo Yaspidenu, he shouldn't eulogize. Kodim L'Regel Shloshim Yom. So 30 days before, and there are two things that shouldn't be done. One is to do Yorir Adam Ameso, and one is to Yaspidenu, to eulogize. So what does that mean exactly? So Rashi says, Lo Yorir Almeso, in Meso Meso, if a person has a relative who dies, Chodesh HaChodeshim Tkodim HaMod, 1 or 2 months, I'm not sure where Rashi gets 2 months from, the Mishnah only says 30 days, but 1 or 2 months before the Moed, Lo Yorir, what does that mean? So Rashi tells us what the Gemara is going to tell us. Mifarish B'Gemara, Kad HaDar, when they would When they look for a professional eulogizer in the West, in Eretz Yisrael, you shouldn't hire a eulogizer to go look for all the relatives. They get a special eulogizer, which I reckon, where they're trying to get all the relatives to come together to make a big eulogy. Now, this differs from the second halacha of Lo Yaspidenu, says Rashi. If someone has a relative who dies within 30 days of the yontif, you shouldn't just get a eulogizer. So I think the difference is, I think the second case of Yaspidenu is, don't hire a professional eulogizer, just have a family member eulogize the mace. Eulogy is permitted, just not a professional one. I think the first case of Lo Ya'ara means, don't have a eulogizer to try to go around from house to house to get all the relatives to more of a proactive type of eulogizer, that wouldn't be permitted either. Is that what it's saying in the English?
Seems the only difference that I can see is, as the first case, true, the eulogizer goes around, actually they say eulogist.
Eulogist, okay.
I would go eulogizer, but
okay.
They shouldn't hire one to go around to the members of the family to grieve over a relative who died a month or two earlier. And then the second note, he said, don't hire someone to deliver a eulogy for a relative who just died.
So that's like pretty much, I guess, what Rashi says. But I think the first case is one who's kind of going house to house to the relatives, and one, I guess, who's present at the Levaya. Either one of those types of eulogists should not be hired.
I think the reason Rashi says 1 or 2 months, because the Isser isn't doing it within a month or 30 days before. It's possible that happens if the person's died up to 2 months before.
Uh-huh.
Because if the person's died in the last couple of months, then theoretically this process could happen within the last 30 days.
I see. So the first case is when he died a few months ago, let's say, and the eulogist reminds everybody of the death. It could be like a shloshim celebration, not celebration, but keeping shloshim, let's say, or some type of yard site. We have a few months, 3 months on yard site, for example, and they're trying to bring everyone together and to bring further avelis. And the second case, I guess, is, as you mentioned, that the moment he dies, but the Levaya at Kvura don't hire a eulogist either. So one's a delayed eulogy, one's a eulogy at the time of death. Maybe that's the difference. Okay. Either of these cases should not be done within 30 days of the regel, because the Gemara is going to explain why. Gemara asks now, Urminhu. Hamalakit atzmos aviv v'imo. Somebody who does gather the bones of his parents, harezim es abel aleim kol yom. He's supposed to mourn that entire day. Ule'erev ein mis abel aleim, but that evening he does not mis abel. He does not mourn that evening. It's just a few hours of mourning. And further, amar rav chista, afilu tzoron lo besadino. And even if the bones are like pebbles in a very small, little pouch, Rashi says, "Afilu tzroin b'sadino," means she'ino melakten. He doesn't really collect them. Vina roa also, he doesn't even see them. Harezim es abel kol zman shel nekvor. They're in a bag. They were buried in a bag, and he doesn't see the bones, and he doesn't have to collect them. It's just simply picking up the bag of bones and placing them elsewhere and burying them elsewhere. Even in such a case, Rav Chisda said, you mourn that day, but not that evening. So why is this a question? Because Remeir said that it's a simcha hilo. This Brisa says, according to all opinions, it's an avela, so he has to actually be misabel. So says the Gemara, Amar Abai, Eima Mipnei Shes Simchas HaRegel Alav. So what the Remeir is saying is that you're right in general, Likut Atzmos is an avela, it is avelas, but when it takes place on Chol Moed, the Simcha of Chol Moed is going to overshadow the avelas there. Because the Simchas HaRegel is so powerful, it's going to help us overlook the avelas and will therefore be permitted. Rashi explains, "Mimnei simchas haregel alav, klomer harbe hu osik b'simchas haregel." He's so engrossed and involved in the simchas haregel, veinu mitzar, but malakir atzamos aviv imo. He's not going to be so disturbed by collecting the bones and reburying them elsewhere. And that's what Reb Meir there is okay with this. Yossi felt that the avelis is so strong, even by likir atzamos, and therefore it would not be overshadowed by the simchas haregel. So that Reb Meir is not saying it's a simcha that you're like we initially thought that the guy's happy that he's burying the body and the bones elsewhere. It's referring to the simcha of the regel just overshadows this. Now I'm not sure why the Gemara didn't say Reb Meir is a tana. Reb Meir could argue in this brisa. The brisa says that it's an avelis. So Rav Meir thought it was a simcha. So instead of having to readjust Rav Meir's opinion of the Mishnah, just simply say, Rav Meir's a Tana, Rav Meir argues. He has the authority to argue. So the only thing I can think of is that if Rav Meir really did argue, he would have a stam Mishnah as a Rav Meir. So the fact that Rav Meir would have thought simcha, there should have been two opinions. The Brisa should have really presented two different opinions. He should have said that most people think that it's a velus, likud atamos, and Rav Meir thinks it's a simcha. The fact that we never mention Rav Meir as a second opinion would indicate that Rav Meir does not hold of a simcha, even he'll agree there's a certain element of a velus by likud atamos. Okay. Fine. The Gemara now explains, what does it mean, lo yara al mesa, that a person shouldn't, as we said, to try to bring back the tears and the mourning of a mace of a few months ago. My lo yara al mesa, asks the Gemara, am rav kad hadar saftan b'marava, when the eulogist in the west, in Eretz Yisrael, am yavchon ame kol maria liba, let everyone gather together and cry, all the bitter hearts should cry together. That was a statement that they would say to try to inspire people to cry, even though the death had happened a few months ago. This should not be done 30 days prior to the regel. And then the Gemara says, Kodim HaRegel Shloshim Yom, why is this usher to be done 30 days prior to the Yomtif? Maishna Shloshim Yom, why dafka 30 days? Amar Rav Kana, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav Maisa Be'adam Echad. So we would have thought, if I each asked me, I would have said, because we already start preparing for the Yontif 30 days beforehand, and Shloshim Yom Kodem Achag, so it's already in the chapter of the regel. We already have certain excitement and certain simcha that's there. So the Avelis is going to be taken away from our preparation. So the Gemara says, no, there's once in Maisa, Ba'adam Echad, Shekinis Ma'osel Alos HaRegel. He gathered some, he left over, he had put some savings together, he put aside a dollar a day, and had enough money to make the travels to Eretz Yisrael for Aliyas HaRegel, to Yerushalayim. Ubas Saftan, and a eulogist came, V'amod Al Pesach Beso, he started eulogizing in the guy's front door about this mace that happened, and the guy felt so moved, and Natlan Ishtaso, or the wife rather, took the money, Nasantan Lo, and gave the eulogist, here's the money, you did a wonderful job, thank you for that eulogy. Sounded a little bit strange, but okay, you get a knock on the door, and here's a eulogy, pay me some money. So that's what she did. V'nimna V'lo Allah, B'osash Lo Allah. And they lost all the money that they saved to go up to Alila Regio, and they weren't able to go perform this wonderful mitzvah. The Baal Shasha at that time, Armulo, so they said, the Chachamim made the following takana. Lo Yor al Meso, Lo Hespedeno Kodma Regio, Shloshim Yom, no longer we're allowed to do a Hesped, no longer we're allowed to do these eulogies, because they were so good, these eulogists, that they could just take people's money away 30 days beforehand. So again, people start saving money 30 days before, that's when they start looking forward to the Regio. So, That was the Gzera. That's according to the first spin. That's according to Rav. Shmuel has a different understanding, which might be a little bit more understandable to us. Shmuel Amar, Rafi, She'ein Hames Mishtakech Mihalev Shloshim Yom, because people don't forget when somebody dies, it takes 30 days to remove it from one's mind, one's heart. Rashi explains, Rafi She'ein Hames Mishtakech Mihalev Shloshim Yom, Klomar, came into Mace, once a person dies, Ein Mishtakech Mihalev Shloshim Yom, if a person re-eulogizes a mace, or if it was just a eulogy, the person just died, less than 30 days within the regel, then asil mispeit beregel, the person's going to be remembering this mace, and he might eulogize again during the regel. So we need this 30-day buffer zone before the regel as to try to forget the mace, so we have a very enjoyable regel. I thought you were going to ask, the Gemara tells us in Brachos that really a mace is not forgotten for 12 months. That's one of the reasons why for a father and mother, they avail this for 12 months, not for 30 days. So that's some of the Mepharshim asked the question. I don't know the answers. It's possible that there are different levels. A person won't forget a parent for 12 months, but it doesn't mean it's going to be such a strong level of avail that's going to get them to eulogize within the regga the whole year long. 30 days, it's very strong. So normally they forget. They forget, meaning the strength of the avail is forgotten after 30 days. But a lesser level of avail continues for 12 months. After 12 months, then a person really forgets the mace. Where wants to know, my nafkamina, my benai, what's the difference between Rav and Shmuel? Rav again said the concern was that you might pay the eulogist, and Shmuel said the concern was you're not going to forget it. The difference is, Ika benai, the covered bechinam, the eulogist does it for free, so according to the Rav, there's no problem. The eulogists do it for free, they're not going to take the money away, then it would be permitted. But according to Shmuel, it's not an issue of money, it's an issue of just being part of the mind and not forgetting about it. So even a eulogist for free would be usher 30 days prior to the regel. Look at Tosos, very important Tosos, a very important psychology that he tells us. Tosos writes the top line, "Deka'avid b'chinam," if he does it for free. "V'nira d'halacha k'rav b'isura," that we always pass like Rav versus Shmuel when it comes to Isurim, so this would be an issue of Isur. I guess the Isur would be, I'm not really quite sure the Isur, but it's usually Isur versus Dinim. It's usually Yardeh versus Choshe Mishpat. There's not so much a halacha of Dini Choshe Mishpat, it's more of a halacha of Simchas Regel, so we follow Rav, says Tosfos. Now, Vafilu l'Shmuel, even according to Shmuel, Yesh lomar delo asiri ela aidei saftana. The only time that's really also to eulogize is to hire a professional eulogist. But our custom is aval hu atzmo shari. But the person himself, the relative himself, to eulogize, that's completely permitted. That's what we do. The yoser, it's permitted more. Misapek mitzaro aidei tzaka v'yismach l'achesman. It's a very important idea here. By the relative speaking about the mace and giving the eulogy, it helps him. It removes the tsar from himself by screaming, by remembering the stories and the person who died, and it's going to create simcha after. It's actually very healthy for a person to do this. There's a all the frum psychologists point to Gemara and Yuma. I forget the pasuk exactly. The pasuk says something along the lines, if a person has a tsar, al tasichenu. A person should not try to keep it inside him. A person's supposed to speak about his tzar, speak about his ideas, what's bothering him, what's on his mind, and by doing that, the pasuk tells us, I think it's a mishle, it helps a person move forward from whatever experience that he's experiencing. I think that's the idea Tosfos is saying also. A person loses a relative, by him speaking about it, it helps relieve this pain, the stress, the anger, and is after time is actually very satisfying, and it makes him much happier and able to deal with the situation much better. It says the new Mishnah, in chofren kochin, the kvaros b'moed. A person is not allowed to bury, rather dig, these types of burial places. The Gemara is going to explain what they mean. On chalamoed, avam lechanchin es hakuchin b'moed. But you can adjust the kuchin. The Gemara will explain what that means as well. V'osin nivrechas b'moed. A person can make a little pool of water on moed. I think the purpose of this was to do the part of the tahara process, to cleanse the body. Is that what they say the function is?
Laundering.
Just stam laundering. Nothing to do with the mace. Okay, this whole mission is all about mace. We'll see what the mission, what the Gemara explains. The aron, and a person can also make build an aron, a coffin, im hamace bechatzer, with the mace. If the mace is in the chatzer, so you're allowed to build and do all these various preparations for the mace, because Rashi explains the aron im hamace bechatzer, the aron along with the mace being present in the courtyard. Shemes sham mutar lasos aron ulanaser hanisarim. You could build the coffin. You could carve out the boards mitchila from the beginning letzarach aron lasosakula to make the entire from the beginning to the end you could build a coffin avalo b'chatzer acheres, but you cannot do it if the mace is in a different courtyard shlo yomu mlach acheresi. People are not going to see the mace in the chatzer. They're going to see a person building something and they're not going to think it's done for the purpose of the mace, and it would be an issue of mars ayin of people doing mlach on chalmoy where they shouldn't be doing mlacha. There's only a heter for kvura. Behuda says in the Mishnah, Oser Elam Ken Yesh Imo Nisarm. He says it's usher to build the boards from scratch. If they're already pre-existing boards, then you can nail them together. But to take a piece of wood, cut down a tree, and start shaving out a board, that would be usher.
Says further down about this pond, an alternative explanation that they could be used for washing the mace.
Okay. That's what I forgot. Okay, thank you. Figured this whole Mishnah is all about preparation for the mace. So that would also be.
The first explanation says it's because everything's talking about digging.
Everything's,
So that's where it came.
That's consistent. And then actually, Tosos says that. Tosos may as well look at it. Tosos writes in Deeper Maschel, V'osin Nivrechas B'moed. Tosos writes, Tema. Amai Tzarch B'moed, V'alo In Mechapsim B'moed. What's the point? You're not allowed to do kibbutz. You can't do laundering on Chol Moed. So what's the point of digging out a place of laundering? So Yesh Lomar, Tzarch Kol Osim Shetiru Chachamim. The first answer is, as we'll see later on in the next parak, the third parak rather, that there are certain people who are allowed to launder on Chol Moed, certain exceptions. For those people, you're allowed to dig out this little hole to fill it with water and to launder. But for in the general klal, wouldn't be allowed, you're right. And V'yesh Mefarshim, other explain, Lirchot es hames v'tachrichin, refers to cleansing the body, part of the Tara process. The Gemara wants to know, my kuchen, my kvaros. What do these things refer to? Rav Yehuda, kochen b'chafira, kvaros b'binyan. Kochen is referring to digging, digging for the mace, and kavaros are referring to the binyan, building some type of building around the mace, some type of seal, some type of marker for the mace. Those two things are not allowed to be done on Chol HaMoed. Tanya Nami Hachi, the Brisa says the same idea. Elu hein kuchen, ve'elu hein kvaros, kuchen bechafira, kuchen involves digging, kvaros bebinyan, that involves building. The Mishnah told us one's allowed to do mechanchen sakuchen. They can adjust the size of the kuchen. Again, the kuchen being the hole. Ketzer mechanchen. How does one do this? Amar Yehuda sheim haya aruch mekatzo. If the hole that was initially buried was very long and the person who had passed away was much shorter, you could shorten it. You could fill in some of the holes with some dirt to make it shorter. I guess you want to do that. You don't want to take away so much area, unnecessary area of the cemetery, so you would shorten it. And b'masnisa tana marichbo means if it's not enough room, you can make it a little bit longer, you make it a little bit wider to fit the mace inside. And then the Mishnah had told us also nivrachas, you can make this a little pool, you could dig out a pool, which was either for the purpose of laundering for those certain exceptions, or it was for the purpose of washing the mace. My nivrachas, what does nivrachas mean? Amar Yehuda zu bekia, it's a bekia. The Rashi doesn't tell us bekia is, what is the English translation of bekia? I guess a small little pond. Okay. So v'hatanya, but doesn't the Braisa tell us nevrachas v'abakia? It sounds like they're two different things. Abayevi sema rav kana giha ubargia. So Rashi tells us giha ubargia means a brecha gadola, a larger pool, a larger pond. Shosin b'chatzer shiachantu b'kos shofrin, that you bring in all the ones that get poured. Shiachantu b'kos shofrin, b'kia bargia. Bargia is a smaller one. Bricha katana shows in samach legdola. It's next to the. It's adjacent to the larger pond. Kadeshi chantu amayim hayotin minagdola lektana shimleya v'nichas lektana. So you have a large body of water, and that trickles into a smaller body of water. So they'd use the small body of water for the laundering or for the cleaning of the mace, but that'd be fed from the larger pond. The one's a gia, one's a bargia. A nivrechas is a larger one. The bekia is a smaller one. So in the end, which one's permitted on the Chol HaMoed? It sounds like the Mishnah says Nivrechas is permitted. The larger pond, I guess, is permitted. And Lechora, the small pond, would be permitted also. So I guess both are permitted. Okay. Then the Gemara says, quotes from the Mishnah of the Aron Im HaMeis B'Chatzer. One can build the coffin along with the mace, as long as the mace is in the Chatzer. I don't know if there's another gears here. The word Im, I think, should be Aleph Mem. Makes a little more sense to me the way you read it. Im, if the mace is in the chatzer, as opposed to the Aron with the mace in the chatzer, it sounds Im, if the mace, that's how I think it should be read. I'm not sure if anybody has such a girsa. It sounds like it's a better flow to me. Anyways, the Gemara says, Tanina, the Mishnah says, Lahad the Tanir Rabbanan, the Braisa tells us that Osen Kol Tzarchei Mace, you could do any of the necessary things needed for the mace in terms of preparing for Kavura, which includes gozin lasaro, you pull out the hairs, you cut the hairs, you're supposed to cut in a certain way so it's not overgrown. Mechapsin lo ksuso, you launder his clothing that he gets buried in. Vosin lo aron, and you make him a coffin. Menasin menusin be'erev yamtif. You're supposed to, however, only use the boards that were pre-made from erev yamtif, because otherwise it's a big tircha, Rashi explains, to make the actual boards on yamtif. And Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, Af Mevin Etim Munasin Betzina B'toch Beis. He says, no, you're even allowed to bring pieces of lumber and trees, and you can shave out the boards if needed, only in privacy in one's own home. So that's like we had in the Mishnah, that the Tanakhama thought you could make them from scratch. We could have felt otherwise. Here too, also the same machlokas. How do we paskin? I'm not sure. It sounds like from the Tanakhama, it looks like the person can make it from scratch, but I'm not entirely sure. Well, we're going quickly today. New Mishnah tells us that a list of things that cannot be done on Chol HaMoed. Ein nosen nashim b'moed. A person is not allowed to get married on Chol HaMoed. Lo besulos, whether it's the woman's first time being married. Lo amanos, whether she was a widow. Lo miyabmin, she's also one not allowed to perform yibum if one's brother passes away and his sister-in-law now is a widow without any children, which normally the halacha would be yibum. The yibum cannot take place on Yontif. Chol HaMoed, why not? Mipnei shesim chehilo, because it's a simcha. What's the problem? The Gemara is going to explain. The Gemara is going to explain what the issue of simcha is. I'll just tell you. One of the reasons is ein marvin simcha b'simcha. We are not allowed to mix together one simcha with the next simcha. So these things are therefore usher to get married any woman on Yontif. Aval machzer hu es kushaso, person can remarry a woman who he divorced. He divorced his wife, and then they got remarried. Machzik Gushaso is permitted on Chol HaMoed. Rashi explains Machzik Gushaso, but the Eino Simcha Kol Kach. It's not such a great Simcha, because they already married before. The Simcha is not as heightened as opposed to the other types of marrying other women. V'ose Isha Tachshita B'moed. A woman's also allowed to do certain wear certain jewelry or do certain makeup is permitted on Chol HaMoed. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Lo Tisa Mipnei Shenivel Lo. But what she cannot do is, and they used to place some type of sid, some type of plaster on their face, on their skin. The Gemara, tomorrow's daf is going to explain, and it would stay there sometimes for a couple of days. It would look a little bit disgusting and be uncomfortable. Rashi says Lo Tisa Basid Mipnei Shenivel Hu Etzla. It's disgusting for her. Achshav, b'moed, she tosses b'sid mitzaras. It's very uncomfortable wearing this type of cream or plaster on her face. So that was also according to Behuda. He permitted other types of makeup and other types of preparation, but not sid. This will be discussed tomorrow. Hahedyot, tofer kedarcho, a regular person, a balbas, is allowed to sew a tear in a regular way, because even though he sews it regularly, it's not going to be such a professional type of sewing. And ha'uman machliv, but a uman who's a professional tailor is not allowed to sew, because you can't do a ma'isa uman on yachal moed. He has to do machliv. Machliv is some type of wide stitching where it doesn't look so professional, because again, a ma'isa uman's usher, it's too much tircha on yantif and chal moed. U'masargin is amitos. So the bed used to have these ropes that held the mattress on the bed, so you're allowed to weave together the rope on the below the mattress on the bed that would be permitted. Rabbi Yossi Omer Mematchin, something else you could do. The Gemara is going to mention regarding a bed. That will be tomorrow's tomorrow, maybe in 2 days. I think it's 2 days. We'll get to that. Okay, so the Gemara says now, V'chisim chehilo ma'havi. I don't understand. The Mishnah says it's also to get married on Chol HaMoed. What's the issue of getting married? Who cares? Aren't you supposed to be happy during Chol HaMoed? Why is it also to get married during Chol HaMoed? So Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, V'chein Amar Rabbi Elazar, Amar Rabbi Elshaya, V'amilei Amar Rabbi Elazar, Amar Rabbi Chinina. Different people say the same thing. L'fi she'ein ma'arvin simcha b'simcha. Because the halacha is we're not allowed to take one simcha cannot remove from another simcha. We're already supposed to be celebrating Yontif, so if we have a marriage on Yontif as well, that's going to take away from the Chol HaMoed celebrations. Rashi explains the ein ma'arvin simcha b'simcha. Kolomar ba'inan delismach b'simchas moed l'chudei. We have to have an exclusive celebration of Simchas Yontif. So look at Rashi. Rashi writes, Tosas writes, Lefi she'ein ma'arvin simcha b'simcha. Gezeres ha'kasev, this is based on a pasuk, k'dedarsh l'kaman mikra t'shomo. Tomorrow's daf will see the source of this concept. And Tosas seems to say this might be a deraisa, even though it's based on Shlomo, which would only be divrei Kabbalah. It seems to be a serious drasha, says Tosas. U'b'yushalmi, darsh, the Yushalmi brings another source, the Ramban brings the Al-Torah as well, midichsiv melo shavua zos. This is a reference to when Yaakov married Leah, then Rachel. So after marrying Leah and celebrating 7 days, then he married Rachel the very next day. Most people think what happened was he worked 7 years, married Leah, then Lavan said you have to work another 7 years for Rachel. So then he worked another 7 years and married Rachel. That wasn't true. He actually married Rachel right after Leah and then worked 7 years after the fact to work for his ability to marry Rachel. But there were 7 separate days. 7 days celebrating Leah and then 7 days celebrating marrying Rachel. So the Yushalmi says, from here we see that they couldn't combine it. Why didn't he get married to Rachel the next day, the day afterwards, and then have 7 days of celebration of both marriages? Because we see Ein Marvin Simcha B'Simcha. Mitam Nira, Tosa explains, what's the rationale behind this concept? Nir Ksast, the Kamosha Ein Ma'osin Mitzvot Chavilos, just like you can't bundle mitzvot together and kill two birds with one stone, each mitzvah deserves its own time, its own moment, this too also. You have to be focused on one mitzvah at a time, and not deter, not be distracted from it. Same too, simcha b'simcha, you have to be focused on simcha's regel, nothing else. You have to be very, very focused. Now the Ritva writes, Ritva says he doesn't hold this drasha of the Yushalmi, he holds the drasha of the Bavli, and he says, we'll see tomorrow what the source is, but according to the Ritva, he says, the only time there's a problem of Ein Marvin Simcha B'Simcha is when there are two different Simchas, a clash between Simchas Regel and Simchas Nisun. But if they're two of the same Simcha, two marriages, two weddings, that can take place together because it's the same type of simcha. He rejects the Yishalmi. According to the Yishalmi, it's also even the same simcha. According to the Ritva, no. It's only if there are two different simchas. One could celebrate. As long as you have the same type of simcha in mind, that would be okay according to the Ritva. Okay, that's all according to the first explanation of Ein Marvin Simcha. We go back to the Gemara now. The Gemara says, Rabba bar Rav Huna Amar b'pnei sheminiach simchas haregel v'osek b'simchas ishto. Sounds pretty similar to the first one, but this is more focused on the ignoring the Simchas Regel, not so much about mixing two regels together, more about ignoring the Simchas Regel. Okay, and then the Gemara says, another answer, Amalei Abaye, the Rav Yosef, Ha Durabba, Bar Rav Huna, Duravhu, Dama Rav Daniya Bar Ketina Amar Rav, Minayin She'ein Nosim Noshim B'moed. This is what you just said above is really a statement of Rav. Rav asks, how do you know you cannot marry a woman on Chol Moed? Shenemar, B'samachta B'chagecha. Paul says you're supposed to rejoice in the Yantif. B'chagecha V'lo B'shecha. You're supposed to be Simcha in Chag, but not be Simcha in one's wife. So according to this second explanation, this is limited only to Simchas Regel. Only Simchas Regel would be a problem of having another Simcha on a Simchas Regel. It's a Din of the Chag. But any other Simchas, let's say Simchas two nisuins, let's say, according to this answer, wouldn't be a problem. Two weddings wouldn't be a problem. It's only a problem when one takes away from Simchas Achag, according to this second explanation. The third explanation is according to Ula. Ula Amar, b'pnei ha-tareach, because of the tircha involved. There's so much tircha, we saw a few times already, we'll see later on a much clearer Gemara in Daf Yud Beis, Yud Aleph Yud Beis or so. The whole problem of doing malacha on Chol Moed is an isser of tircha. You can't overexert oneself. So, of course, setting up a wedding, preparing for a wedding, involves a lot of tircha. So to have a nisuin on Chol Moed, that's going to be tircha, and that's aser on Chol Moed. And the fourth explanation brought in the Gemara is why it's aser to get married on Yontif. It's according to the opinion of Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha Amar, Mipnei Shebitul Piria Rivya. It's going to be taking away from the mitzvah of having children. How's this taking away? So look at Rashi. Mishum Bitul Piria Rivya, Di Shari Nisuin B'Yomtif. If one were permitted to get married on Yontif, Ein Adam No Seisha Kol Hashana Kula. Person's never going to get married the entire year. Alamam Tinat Hamoi says, let's wait till the next upcoming Chol Moed or Yontif. Sheyei also expensive to have a wedding, to host all the friends and relatives. It's very expensive to have Chol Moed. You have Yontif meals. Let's combine it together and we'll push it off. So people are going to get married three times a year. They get married Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot, and that's it. And they're going to miss out. They met each other earlier in Kislev, and they really want to get married, but they're going to miss 5 months of having children because they're going to wait up until Pesach. So for that reason, they said it's also to get married on Yontif. You have to get married whenever is a convenient time other than on Yontif. Okay, so before we close the daf, there's a very important tosfos to do in the bottom here. The last tosfos on the page. Tosfos writes, "Mipnei bitul piruvia." This is the last answer. We had four reasons given in the Gemara. Umasnisin, the Mishnah tells us, "Hachi perusho." Mipnei shesimcha hilo. So how do we fit this into the pasuk, into the Mishnah? The Mishnah says the reason why you can't get married on Yontif is because it's a simcha. It's a simcha to get married. Umasha elson baratzon ataregel shesemech. Oh, is he willingly going to wait until regel because it's a time of simcha, or they should be available? Fatakasani aval machzik kushaso. So when it comes to machshik u'shaso, where there's no simcha, and there's no problem of mixing together one simcha with the next simcha, no one's going to ignore the marriage of a machshik u'shaso. It's not going to take away from the simcha of the regel. If a gam ein torech, but it's not going to be such tircha, no one's going to make a huge wedding festival for a remarriage of a divorcee. Vegam bitul piruvia ain kan shayala ishikvai. Already was married once before. Those were assuming there already was children. Perhaps mustama demilsa yesh laban. They probably had children, so it's not going to be an issue of delaying the marriage because they already were remarried beforehand. Vegam ein rogel lashos davarze ataregel. People don't wait to machshik u'shaso. People don't wait to get married to their divorcee. So for all those reasons, that's how Rashi Tosfos fits in the reading of the Mishnah according to all the various answers. Now what's important is as follows. To this bris mila, mutter lasses b'chol moed. Tosfos asks, what's the question Tosfos is asking? Person has a bris, bris falls out on the Chol Hamoed, is a person allowed to have the meal? Of course you do the bris meal, there's no question about that, because that has to be on the eighth day. But are you allowed to have the Suda? So it says Tosos, it's mutter, the leka simcha. There is no simcha involved in the Suda, this bris meal. Kidamrina beperkama de ksubas dafches, the lo mevarchin she simcha b'mo'ono, mishum de islai tzara di lenuka. There's a discussion whether one should say simcha b'mo'ono at a bris meal. We know we say it at a Sherev Brachos, because there's a tremendous amount of simcha. What about a bris meal? The Gemara concludes, since there's tzara di lenuka, the child has so much pain, of course, it's a surgery, we can't view this as a simcha, and therefore the Suda is a nice Suda, the Suda mitzvah, but not a Suda simcha. For this reason, I think the Ritva writes in Ksubas that Avel is permitted to attend a Sudas Bris Mila. I don't think we paskin that way. He's allowed to go to the Bris, but can't go to the Suda normally. So, but according to this answer, the Tosfos, since there is no Simcha to Sudas Bris Mila, one can have a Suda during Chol Hamoed. That's how we do paskin. Inami. Another answer Tosfos suggests why Bris Mila is permitted to have on Yontif. Since the eighth day is when the mitzvah Bris Mila is going to happen, and the Suda's mitzvah is supposed to be attached to this bris milah, we can't delay that, they come hand in hand. So even though this Tosfos seems to assume, even though there might be simcha involved in a bris milah, and there's a simcha involved in the Suda's bris milah, it still can be done on Chol Hamoed, because that's Zman Kavua. I think this is an Iri that explained, well, how could you explain that there's simcha in a bris milah? Doesn't the Gemara say it's Tsar Dianuka? The Tsar Dianuka, the pain of the child, how could you view this as a Suda's, a simcha, Sudaf Simcha. So I think the Mir'i says that the pain that the child goes is very external to the mitzvah itself. Yes, that's a result, it's an outcome, there's going to be pain, but that's not part of the actual bris milah. It's a result of it. But it doesn't take away that this tremendous mitzvah is being performed, so therefore it's still viewed as the simcha. And according to that, so the nafkamina would be whether an avel, the two nafkaminas. Again, the question is there a simcha by bris milah? So one nafkamina would be, well, how do you define, is the Suda also a simcha or not? And could you have it on Chol Hamoed? That's Nafkamina 1. Nafkamina 2 would, can Avel attend a Bris Mila? Can Avel attend a Simcha, Suda's Bris Mila? Depends whether they're Simcha. A third Nafkamina would be, do we say a Shechianu at a Bris Mila? We pass in that there's no Shechianu because there's no Simcha. The Rambam and the Gra and Eretz Yisrael, the Minog, is to say a Shechianu at a Bris Mila because they, Lechora, think that there is Simcha by Bris Mila. There are other reasons why to explain there should be Shechianu. Pashas is the Gra doesn't think there is Simcha by Bris Mila. Pashas, he thinks Shechianu is not about Simcha. It's about whenever you reach a new milestone. It's about Zman, not about Simcha. And that's why you say Shechianu. But Lechora, saying a Shechianu might be a Nafkamina whether there's Simcha or not Simcha. Okay, let's finish this Tosos off now. Now, but when it comes to Sudas Pidyon HaBen, says Tosos, Tsarich Ion Imutu Lasas B'moed. He's not sure. He's not sure if one's allowed to. You know, on one hand, is there simcha by Pidyon HaBen? So the Gemara in the end of Pesachim, sorry, going off from the tangent, so the Gemara, last daf of Pesachim, talks about who should say the Shechianu at the Pidyon HaBen. Now, on one hand, the Gemara says, maybe the Kohen should say, because he has all the Hana, he gets the five silver coins. The way the Pidyon HaBen should really be done is the Kohen gets to keep the money. The way it's typically done is the Kohen gets it and he returns it, which is very problematic. He should really keep it. There are heterim to returning it, but it's only allowed to return it if the person giving the money really had in mind to really full-heartedly give it. If you always wanted the money back, that it was like the five silver coins that was used from generation to generation for all the Pidyon HaBens, and they expect it back, that Pidyon HaBen actually doesn't work. So the Kohen who receives the money and is supposed to keep the money, he gets the Hana from the money. It's pretty expensive, these five silver coins. So he gets the Hana. Maybe he should say the Simcha, because it's all about the Simcha. He should say the Shechianu. Or do you say that the father is supposed to say the Shechianu because the father is doing this mitzvah? So the question is, who does the simcha, and what is the simcha anyway? That's, is the receiving the money, is the hana, that's the simcha, the receiving the money. So unclear the level of simcha that exists. So it might be a very low level type of simcha that wouldn't really infringe upon the simcha of regel and might be permitted. That's part of the suffix that he doesn't know. Now we paskin one can have a pidyon haben on Chol Hamoed. Now vein lomar hazman kavua. So don't say, needless to say, by hazman kavua, that's certainly permitted, but Tinach b'zmana, shlo b'zmana, heyach yemutter. But let's say it's a pidyon haben that was not in the proper time. It was pushed off for whatever reason. Is that permitted? Can you do that in Chol Hamoed? Or should you, once you waited some time, you should wait till after Chol Hamoed's aser? Venir Ali says, Tosas, it seems to me, the kaimelon krev ashi, we pass like krev ashi, the darish b'chagiga b'perakama b'chagecha v'lo b'shecha. That Rav Ashi was the one who said the reason is because of Which reason did he give?
Well, it's Rav, because you're not going to be focused on the simple second answer.
But was Rav Ashi mentioned? The Tosa means to say Rav, not Rav Ashi? Oh, see, no, see, I think Rav Ashi is the opinion in the Gemara Chagiga. It seems like we hold like Rav Ashi in the Gemara Chagiga that Chagach of Lubi Shecha, which you're saying is aligned with the opinion of Rav here in the Gemara, Venu Aser La'ari Simcha B'Simcha, and it's not Aser Timar of Simcha B'Simcha. Tosa says it's permitted to do Simcha B'Simcha. You can have one Simcha on with the other Simcha. The only thing that's Aser is taking away from the Simcha of the Chag. B'Yodi Shlomer says Tosos, D'lo Chashiva Simcha B'Simcha Kim Tzudas Nesun Levad. He also says, the only Simcha that's problematic is a very strong Simcha such as a Nesun. A Nesun on the day of Yontif, or a Nesun with another Nesun, that's a problem. But a low-level Simcha such as a Pidyon Ben, such as a Bris Mila, that's never an issue. It's only when you have really high-level Simchas is there going to be a problem. And that's how Tosos seems to conclude. Okay, so it's a wonderful Tosos, a lot of interesting Lamnish's discussions here. Okay, I guess we'll stop here, and we'll continue this tomorrow, Mitzvah Hashem.
It's very interesting, it's the concept of